United Airlines will begin layoffs after the holidays. U.S. domestic airlines cut capacity, but not enough. And 350 Pratt & Whitney workers are sent home in Connecticut. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Friday, December 5th, 2008. United Airlines has confirmed that the first of 7,000 promised layoffs will begin just after the holidays. United spokeswoman Megan McCarthy told the Chicago Tribune Wednesday that about 1,200 jobs will be cut as 2009 begins. About 700 will be mechanics, including 300 at United's San Francisco maintenance base, another 150 at Chicago O'Hare. Other sources had earlier reported the airline will cut as many as 490 customer service reps and 387 pilots, also in January. McCarthy commented, quote, "These are part of the difficult but necessary actions we are taking company-wide to enable United to compete in this challenging economic environment," unquote. Analyst Michael Durchin of FTN Midwest Securities says the airlines can't afford to assume the current dip in fuel prices will last. Quote, "They don't have great visibility beyond the next month or two," unquote. The International Brotherhood of Teamsters represents the mechanics. Union leaders plan to meet with United officials next week. David Bourne, the union's airline division director, told workers in a letter announcing the cuts that the union will, quote, "ensure that the company does not use the upcoming furloughs as an excuse to outsource maintenance work to any third-party vendor," unquote. Many of the cuts happening in January were announced earlier this year, but United held off until after the holiday travel season. Overall, United plans to park about 100 of its jets. That's about 20% of its fleet. Plans by the major U.S. airlines to cut capacity at summer's end sounded serious, but if anything, they apparently fell short of the actual drop-off in passenger demand. Comparing November this year to November last year, Southwest saw its average load factor plummet to just 63.2%. That's down 6.1% from last year. MarketWatch reports American Airlines passenger count fell 14.5%, resulting in a 4.6% drop in load factor despite fewer available seats. American Eagle saw traffic down 21.5%. Continental's was down 10.5%. U.S. Airways seems to have come closest to matching capacity cuts to traffic declines. Revenue passenger miles dropped 6.9%, but the load factor fell only 0.7%. Airline stocks have taken a pounding this year, down 61% for the sector as a whole. A softening market for commercial airliners led engine maker Pratt & Whitney to lay off 350 salaried workers nationwide, effective Wednesday. Company spokeswoman Jennifer Whitlow told Connecticut's Hartford Courant most of the company's business lines have been hit by the recession, with slumping demand for new engines for commercial airliners. And with major airlines parking their older planes to affect capacity cuts, Pratt's normally profitable maintenance, repair, and overhaul business has also taken a hit. The news is worst in Connecticut, where 280 of the jobs were based. The company already cut over 100 blue-collar jobs there earlier this year. 2 weeks ago, Hamilton Sunstrand, which, like Pratt & Whitney, is a division of United Technologies, laid off 11 salaried employees and offered early retirement to 370, hoping for at least 50 takers. Boeing and Airbus owe much of the value of their stocks to their order backlogs. Both manufacturers have years' worth of production stacked up on waiting lists, which could be a major factor in helping them ride out a tough recession. But both companies are already seeing options for additional planes dropped by their airline customers, and in some cases there is a risk of outright cancellations of firm orders. The Associated Press reports Airbus and Boeing are carefully managing their backlogs to avoid building what the industry calls white tails. That's jets that roll off the assembly line with no customer's logo to paint on the empennage. Air France KLM revealed last month it will not exercise 15 options to buy Boeing 777s in a move to save 1.4 billion euro, or about $1.8 billion. The airline was also expected to sign a firm order for long-range airliners, either Boeing's 787 Dreamliner or the Airbus A350XWB, by the end of this year. That's now been postponed indefinitely. Kingfisher Airlines, Iberia, and Cathay Pacific have all said they expect to delay or cancel orders from Boeing or Airbus. One of the more sensitive portions of the Airbus backlog is the A380 Super Jumbo, 2 years late and way over budget in development, Airbus needed to sell over 400 of the planes just to break even on it, according to analysts. British Airways has 12 of the huge planes on order. Qantas has 19 more. But with merger talks underway between the two carriers, it's very possible a combined airline might not need all 31 super jumbos. Analysts watching the industry believe the worst is yet to come. Sandy Morris, an analyst at ABN AMRO Bank in London, notes, quote, "What we've seen so far is a very gentle adjustment. We do expect there's worse to come," unquote. Up next on ANN, search teams find no survivors of a crash in Puerto Rico. A defective cockpit voice recorder leaves a citation accident a mystery. And a bankruptcy judge cuts Sun Country Airlines a break. You're listening to Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways, and you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for December 5th. I'm Paul Plack. Search teams climbed up a treacherous mountainside Wednesday to find the wreckage of a Rockwell 690B Turbo Commander that was reported down east of San Juan, Puerto Rico. The Associated Press reports the aircraft hit the side of El Yunque Mountain while on approach to land at San Juan a little after noon on Wednesday. The flight was inbound from the British Virgin Islands. Three people were reportedly on board, pilot Ken Webster and two unidentified American tourists. Puerto Rican police agent Carmen Quinones said the plane was, quote, "totally destroyed. I don't think there are any survivors," unquote. Witness Jose Saldana said he heard a plane flying low over his restaurant, followed shortly after by two loud explosions. Quote, "First it was an impact like when somebody slams the door of a car, and then I heard another boom," unquote. The National Transportation Safety Board hates unanswered questions, but the board's probable cause report in the 2007 crash of a Cessna Citation 550 issued this week ends with a big question. What caused a loss of control? Pilot Alan Hamilton and passenger John Wouterlich died when the jet came down in a field east of Dillon Airport in Montana on May 3, 2007. The aircraft was on instrument approach. A few minutes after the last transmission from the pilot, the plane's last radar fix showed a descent rate of 16,000 feet per minute. A storm hung over the area at the time of the crash, and freezing levels were reported along the aircraft's projected flight path. But the board could not determine conclusively that icing was to blame for the crash. A cockpit voice recorder, which failed sometime before the end of the flight, left investigators without a key piece of information. And so, we're left with a finding of in-flight loss of control for undetermined reasons, unquote. There's been a plot twist in the drama that is Sun Country Airlines. In our last episode, in October, the airline's parent, Petters Aviation LLC, had just filed for bankruptcy. Primary shareholder Tom Petters still sits in jail without bail, facing federal investment fraud and money laundering charges unrelated to Sun Country. The small airline has a distinct seasonal business cycle, with low revenues in the fall, then business picking up in the winter. The airline's been in the habit of borrowing money from elsewhere in the Petters corporate family each fall to tide it over. In his first few months on the job, new CEO Stan Gatick made progress toward ending the need for annual cash infusions. He cut his own pay in half, won union concessions, and brought in new business, including military contracts and all the campaign flights for U.S. Senator Joe Biden. Despite fuel prices that drove larger competitors deep into the red, Sun Country actually turned a profit in July and August. But cash reserves were not enough to make it through the fall. When Petters resigned as Sun Country's chairman and his offices were raided by the feds in late September, the annual loan was suddenly off the table. Gatick told employees they'd have half their pay deferred into 2009 to be repaid with interest at that time, and fought to get November and December payments to creditors deferred. Somehow, he held things together. Now, the Minneapolis Star-Tribune reports that U.S. bankruptcy judge Robert Kressel has cleared the way for Sun Country to borrow an unspecified sum from Petter's subsidiary Elite Landings at an interest rate of 10% to be repaid in April. The approval came over the strong objections of Acorn Capital Group, one of the creditors in the Petter's bankruptcy. The Star Tribune reports Rob Kugler, an attorney for the creditors, argued that all Petter's aviation assets should be liquidated and complained that he was shut out of the negotiations on the terms of the loan. And so, Gaydeck keeps the ship afloat. Sun Country lives to fight another day. The employees keep their jobs, and only the lawyers go home mad. Isn't it nice to hear one airline story today that doesn't end in mass layoffs? Space Florida is an agency created by the state to strengthen Florida's competitiveness as space exploration moves into the private sector era. Now, as the U.S. Air Force makes plans to build out Launch Complex 36 at Cape Canaveral Air Force Station, Space Florida is fielding a survey with questions you won't find on most surveys. Potential customers are being asked to visit the website and make their needs known. The launch complex is expected to be ready for operation by the fall of 2010. Space Florida wants to know your anticipated date of launch vehicle readiness and launch frequency, your familiarity with range safety requirements, estimated target payload mass and vehicle liftoff weight, vehicle dimensions, propellant logistics, and what will be needed by private firms for on-site testing and vehicle integration. Space Florida would like to wrap this up by the 16th. Finding the survey is not rocket science. Just go to www.spaceflorida.gov, and there's a big button at the top of the main page that says, "Interested in launching a commercial payload from Cape Canaveral? Click here." Space Florida says the survey will take just 5 minutes, which of course is just like every other survey. Still ahead, NASA's Shauna Dale decides to move on. The Mars Science Laboratory will be delayed 2 years. And changing exchange rates bring a discount for LSA buyers in the U.S. You're listening to Aero News.
Welcome to Cirrus Design, maker of the world's best-selling personal aircraft, the sleek SR-22. Cirrus planes feature the latest technologies and are equipped with an exclusive, life-saving parachute system. It is our mission to make personal aviation safe, affordable, and convenient. At Cirrus, we offer a test drive like no one else in the business.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Friday, December 5th. I'm Paul Platt. NASA Deputy Administrator Shauna Dale announced Wednesday she'll leave her job of 3 years on January 17th, which of course is the Friday before Inauguration Day when the Obama administration moves in. Quote, "I will miss the cutting-edge missions, but most of all I will miss the incredibly talented people of NASA. It's a great team to be a part of, and I look forward to watching and cheering on the amazing accomplishments that are yet to come," unquote. NASA says Dale is, quote, "planning to enjoy time off with her family in January and February and consider options for the next phase of her career," unquote. Those options could be wide open, even in a down economy. Her previous experience includes working for the U.S. House of Representatives, the University of Texas system, the White House's Office of Science and Technology Policy, and law firms in California. Do you suppose it opens a few doors to have NASA on your resume? NASA says its highly anticipated Mars Science Laboratory is going to be delayed 2 years. It's now set to launch in the fall of 2011 due to, quote, "testing and hardware challenges that must be addressed to ensure mission success," unquote. Doug McQuestion, director of the Mars Exploration Program, explains, quote, "Up to this point, efforts have focused on launching next year, both to begin the exciting science and because the delay will increase taxpayers' investment in the mission. However, we've reached the point where we cannot condense the schedule further without compromising vital testing," unquote. The Mars Science Laboratory is powered by a small nuclear reactor, so it can drive longer distances over rougher terrain than previous solar-powered rovers. The mission will explore a site where images taken earlier indicate there were wet conditions in the past. Air Gyro Aviation President Nate Oldham told ANN this week that the Outback 2 LSA, which received its American SLSA certification at AirVenture this year, is going on sale at a significant discount. Originally offered at a base price of $103,995, The basic Outback 2 can now be had for only $89,995, or a savings of $14,000. The Outback 2 is an Australian-built light sport airplane with generous dimensions and a welded steel primary fuselage structure in a sleek composite shell. Aluminum wings and steel gear let the Outback operate from unimproved airfields. Oldham says the Outback 2 is well adapted for recreational use in the U.S., with a cruise speed of 105 knots and a range of over 600 miles. He calls the price break a silver lining in the recession. Quote, "The economic crisis has caused a lot of havoc, but the worth of the U.S. dollar has risen significantly on the world market, while other currencies have lost value. This means imported products should cost a lot less. Most businesses simply put the extra profits in their pockets, but Air Gyro is taking a different and perhaps risky approach, dramatically dropping the price of the Outback 2," unquote. Oldham says the price is fixed for a block of four aircraft at a time and will then be reevaluated. And there's more good news. He says financing is readily available. And finally, downtown Los Angeles just got a great new aviation asset. The Robert F. McGuire Heliport was unveiled yesterday atop the 15-story Grand Avenue garage. The heliport will allow Los Angeles County Fire, Los Angeles City Fire, and Emergency Medical Service helicopters to bring patients to the Levy Trauma Center at California Hospital. It will also fill a void for corporations doing business in downtown L.A., with its location being 4 minutes from LAX, 5 minutes from Santa Monica Airport, 7 minutes from Van Nuys Airport, and 14 minutes to John Wayne. Now, let's see who's politically incorrect enough to use it first. The U.S. car company CEOs were just shamed into driving hybrids to their meeting with Congress. Go ahead, land your Agusta Grand in downtown L.A. during Arnold's fiscal emergency. I dare you. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, ANN's Jim Campbell discusses how to share the costs of owning a general aviation aircraft with David Krueger, CEO of the Aircraft Partnership Association. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts. Find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and at our website, www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Enjoy your weekend and have a clear and unlimited day.